Good afternoon and warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is impossible for man to be of one spirit. This oneness of spirit is an agreement between two parties. Agreement in goal, agreement in the method, the approach toward that goal, from the very beginning to the very end. Oneness of spirit, for example, in building up Singapore when Singapore left Malaysia. Our first Prime Minister need to gather for himself a good team where all of them would have the oneness of spirit in order for Singapore to become what she is today. If there were any disagreement, many different views of how Singapore ought to become, Singapore would still be languishing as a third world country, as you can see in some Commonwealth countries that have been occupied by the great British Empire many, many decades ago, and they remain in that same state and condition. Kenya is still a very poor country. It is said that the people, on an average, survive on only $1 a day. Singapore was also a Commonwealth country. When Singapore was founded, they established very important ground rules in order to accomplish this oneness. And that is their aim and purpose for the citizens of Singapore, not just for today or tomorrow, for many years to come, hopefully decades. For example, they came up with this CPF system, not similar to the system that you find in many Western countries, where you have the savings for the communal, for the society, rather than for the individual. That was their agreement by the leaders of the first generation when Singapore was born, led by our first Prime Minister. Oneness is not something that is strange to us, because project by project, goal by goal, we can experience oneness in companies, in businesses, and also, in some cases, our relationship. Like when two parents have the same mind in bringing up their children, where education is number one. They will work hard and they will spend lots of money in improving the children's education, paying hundreds of dollars every month to pay for tutors, buy all kinds of books and material so that their child will not be disadvantaged in any way. So you have this oneness. But when it comes to a oneness that is supposed to be a lifetime, when it comes to a oneness that is within the church, do you think our constitution alone is sufficient to instill this oneness in us? That's one of the purposes of the constitution, isn't it? You have the section on doctrine, you have the middle section that is on the relationship between members, and then the final few articles in our constitution describe the members' relationship with the government, the law of the land. And so we all agree, we all took an oath, is that all that it takes for us to be one, just like in any club that you may be a member of, where the club will have its rules and regulations and constitution. And so oneness in behavior, oneness in eating in this restaurant, it is agreed that if you are wearing anything that is not suitable, then you are not permitted to enter and eat in this restaurant. You can eat somewhere else, but not in this restaurant. So all those who join this club, they agree. You just come out of the swimming pool, you are not dressed appropriately, you want to enter this restaurant, you will be stopped. and every member would back up the restaurant and disagree with you. Oneness. But superficial, external, behavior and conduct wise. In the spiritual realm, God says, I do not want my children to be one in spirit. That is fleeting. That is like a yo-yo, sometimes up, sometimes down. I would want them to be standing fast, to remain stationary, unmovable in this oneness of spirit. That's the topic for this afternoon. And you and I know the fruitfulness and the blessing that can come when you and another person is in total agreement in what you are doing in the church, in what you are doing in your own home as husband and wife, including children, all one in spirit, mother, father, sons, daughters. It brings peace. It brings happiness. It brings tranquility. It brings a very, very wonderful, clear conscience. No tension. For we know that this oneness, when it is absent, is because of tension and disagreement and argument in the home, in the church, in the committee, between you and another person, where you never sit on the same side of the congregation. Because if that person moves over, you move to the other side. It's as if God doesn't know. Does he know? Others might not, because there is this silent treatment. But the tension is there. If that person is not in church, you feel very at peace. But the moment that person enters into the sanctuary, that peace is gone from your life, because you know the person is there on the other side of the aisle. Sixth row, somewhere in the middle. Correct? And you can't get your mind off the person. You may not look at the person. But the Lord says, I don't want you to let anything happen between all of your relationship that will rob you of this oneness in spirit. Not oneness in mind. That's not the word. Not oneness in thought, on paper, agreement, sign on the dotted line. We all believe in the perfect Bible. Oneness of spirit includes the whole being. It includes your goal, your desires, your hope, your aspirations. Of course, the doctrine too. But when you think of the oneness of mind, it's only limited perhaps to the Word of God, to the doctrine. And you and I know that agreement in doctrine on paper is so much easier to do than to have oneness of spirit in life. Because in life, it's so dynamic. In doctrine, it's just there, right? On paper. Ask person A, who cannot get along with person B, you agree that the Bible is perfect? Yes, yes. You agree in the virgin birth of Christ? In everything, both will be yes. Then why is there still this tension? Why can't you still get along? You agree on all the doctrines that are presented to you, one by one, all of them. That's why the Lord used one spirit. Your whole being. It's inward. The soul. That's the word. And the Lord in this passage teaches us how. Now the Apostle Paul shared with us that it is better for him to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, right? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But then he also added that it is more needful for me to stay behind in the flesh, at least for the moment, while he was in prison under house arrest in Rome. And then in verse 25 and 26, he begins to tell them what that needful reason is. Stand fast in one spirit. One third the church in the city of Philippi. Because there was this group of people whose spirit was wrong. They wanted to preach the gospel, but with a different agenda. They might see this team of people going evangelizing. But you can also divide the team into two separate groups. One constrained by the love of Christ. The other one because they want to outdo the Apostle Paul. hoping to put some grief into his heart, make him unhappy, so that we now, our turn, to become famous like him, contentious. Outwardly, same evangelistic team, but inwardly, two opposing teams. And so Paul says, it's needful, at least for me, to remain here to deal with this issue that was there already in the church in Philippi. And so he says, and having this confidence that I'm going to remain behind, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So this was missing. For the furtherance of your faith, and to do so with joy. For the growth and the expansion of your faith. And when you are all divided, serving the Lord with hidden agenda, that will not become a reality. You think God is like an idol, many of us. We talk so much about Him being the one living and true God. It flows out of our lips so smoothly and readily. That there is none other except Him. But do we realize the fullness of that statement, that confession? Very often just a confession, not yet a conviction. Because if He is truly the one living and true God, and there is none other, that means He hears. Right? That's the meaning of the word living. He's alive. His eyes can see, not just in what we are doing, but into the very depths of our soul. The motive behind every word, every act of ours. He knows that too. He sees that too. And He's living. He's not bound by some space and time like an idol, that if you do not move the idol will remain there for eternity. He is the one living. That means He moves. You cannot run away from Him. You think that He is stuck in your house, that if you're outside the house, you can monkey around and do what you want, and then only at home, well, God is there, I better behave. Sometimes we forget the implication of what it means to believe and say that He is truly the one living and true God, because He is. Then let our life prove that. By living in such a manner, because my God sees, I better behave. My mom not around, my dad not around, my church session not around, nobody is around, I can monkey around, fool around. But what about the Lord? Should He not be the one and only person that we must be most concerned with? That's why the Apostle Paul highlighted, for the furtherance of your joy of faith. And that is now not present, and it will not be present if you have people who preach the gospel and serve the Lord with man-centered agendas. And then he added, that your joy may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And so the Apostle Paul basically in these two verses says, you know, in order for this standing fast, whereby you refuse to be moved at all in oneness of spirit, can only be accomplished when you stand in Christ. Isn't it? The basis of standing fast is Christ. Not even a similar goal. Not because you are university educated, I'm a university educated student too. Not because we are of the same race. Not because we all have sworn an oath of membership. None of these things, you realize, will last. All of these things can be compromised. Someone once said to other members, you know, I love my church. I love my pastor very much. It's because of him, I will never leave this church as long as he is the pastor of this church. He's like a father to me. I will never leave. was his confession voluntarily. Nobody forced him. His confession. And then he got married. And then the wife is from another church. And the wife comes to this church and finds this church not so very suitable. And so what do you think the husband who made that voluntary confession that this is going to be the church for the rest of my life on earth? As long as the pastor is here, this is going to be my church. Now the wife can stay in that church. He's the head of the house. The wife says, I want to worship and serve in my church. What would you do? He made a voluntary confession. Nobody forced him. You see, when your oneness of spirit is between you and that person, man and man, another person comes into your life, which you never knew of. You never had feelings for. Not married yet at the time when he made that statement. But the moment this new feelings of a husband enters, the feeling for the other person just simply wanes. And slowly more and more, and then it will, a matter of time, recede into the distant background, isn't it? Okay, dear. Let's try to your church. Let's go. Oneness cannot be between just you and me, because we keep changing. There are a lot more feelings and emotions that are within us that we are capable of that have not yet been felt. And when these new feelings all come in, especially when they are all between you and me, earthly, horizontal, earthbound, based upon earthly things like marriage, it's an earthly experience. In heaven, there is no marriage, you know that. And then this parent-child relationship on earth, when you go to heaven, all of us have to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, not grandchildren of God. But when your steadfastness, steadfast, refuse to be moved in this one of the Spirit, is for Jesus' sake. Because it's in Christ. And Christ is immutable. He is your Lord and your Savior. And therefore, any other relationship you have on earth, it will be evaluated based upon my Lord Jesus Christ's perspective. What He says, what He has taught me, that's how I'm going to relate with you. And so Jesus says, don't let this oneness in spirit be compromised at all costs. Not for anyone, not for anything. Would you do it for Christ's sake? Because He gave His life, everything for you. Is it too much for Him to ask that you give everything in your life for Him and for His sake? Which the Bible said should be our reasonable sacrifice, right? Reasonable is logical. After all that Christ has done for me, as we claim, is it too much for God the Father and God the Son to ask of us to offer our bodies as a living, holy sacrifice unto Him? Is that too much to ask? Holy sacrifice acceptable to Him, which is a reasonable service. That's why this stand fast in one spirit has to be in Christ. That's the only basis that will help us remain in one united church for as long as you live. The moment it is not, your loyalty will shift from one face, one person to another, to the next and to the next. It will not last. And don't forget, your own interest will also be at stake. So, in the case of that husband, the interest is my wife's happiness. That's why when that person said, and it came to the ear of the pastor, that this so-and-so said these words to you, about you, the pastor's heart said, it's not going to last. It's not. Because this kind of loyalty that is from man toward another man, even if it's a pastor, is unbiblical. It has to be in Christ. And that's the basis for standing fast in one spirit, for it to become a lifetime experience for the child of God. Now the question is, do you want this in your life, where you can have peace, joy, happiness, tranquility in your fellowship, in your committee meetings, in the leadership, in your house, in wherever you are found? Right, that's what the Lord says, right? That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you. Because that's what Paul remained behind to teach them this. Because he's going to come and he saw this and say, I've got to fix this. Don't forget the earlier verses about those who preach the gospel with ulterior motive, right? That's the context. Do you want this? Because it is yours. The Lord made it possible. It's now up to us to turn what God has assured us as our possibility into a reality. And once you have it, will you hold on to it and do whatever it takes to not let it be ruined? Divided spirit, quarrel, unhappiness, fighting, disagreement for the sake of disagreement. What is this united temperature of Truth BP Church? What is it like? If it is on a scale of 10, should it not be 10 upon 10 for everyone? If God were to evaluate each and every one of you, one by one, against every single member of your congregation, take every member, comes up in front, and all the other members stand up where you are, and then one by one, compare. Any strained relationship, any unhappy feelings, any bitter feelings, it should be none, isn't it? That's what Paul says, I do not mind remaining behind to extend my time here on earth and delay my arrival home in heaven to meet my Lord face to face, which to him to die indeed was gain, in order to resolve this sad experience in a church that he loved dearly. The church in Philippi also loved him very much, but it breaks his heart to see this in the church, to have some who serve the Lord with sinful motives. No more oneness, right? And the Lord knows. So don't hide and don't pretend, because the Lord knows. And it's superficial, silent treatment, see each other, smile and smile and smile, but behind the scene, you slander, you speak words that are unkind, and you try to bring the person down by assassinating his reputation. That's the work of the evil one. Why would you do that? And we do all these things as if God is like an idol whose eyes can't see, whose ears are deaf. The Lord hears everything that you said, you know that, right? The basis of standing fast is Christ. And the strength to hold on to it to the very end in verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The strength is your entire life. Your conversation here would be your manner of life, isn't it? What you say and what you do. That's the key. Let it be cometh. Let it be a true, genuine reflection of what the gospel of Jesus Christ has revealed. That someone who has truly accepted the gospel of Christ, who goes around preaching the gospel of Christ, let your life from your mind and your heart and every aspect of it be a true reflection of the gospel of Christ, so that when you share the gospel and the person sincerely accepts the gospel and receives Christ as Lord and Savior, he will become like you. Holiness, godliness, righteousness according to Scripture. That's what it means, isn't it? Let your conversation, the whole life of yours, let it be a true reflection. When a person accepts Christ and believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, what becomes of him? What becomes of him? When a person look at your life, I want to be like you. How? Give him the gospel, and if when he becomes a Christian and accepts the gospel, in time to come, he will be like you. That's how Jesus Christ wanted them to serve when they share the gospel. Let your conversation, let your life, from your motive to your words to your conduct, so that when a person believes in the gospel, he says, I want to be exactly like you. Do you not want that person to be that, to be your children? I want to be like you, Mom. I want to be like you, Dad. And by believing in Christ, I will grow up to be like Mom and Dad. Isn't that the blessing that you have been longing for as a believer? That's what Paul says to his spiritual children. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, of your conduct, your behavior, what you are doing. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see that? By your consistent, complete life of holiness in all areas that glorify God. The Bible here says, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, that you just simply want to promote and exalt Christ. All of you do. No one will have any other agenda. That's why whenever we pray for the leadership, that every session member will seek only to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, for he must increase and we decrease. When you have leaders exalting one another or each other, you see the problem. There will be contention, there will be cliques, there will be schisms. But when all of us want to promote Christ, you want to promote Christ, everyone wants to promote Christ, isn't that the manifestation of the oneness of Spirit? And when someone just come in and want to promote self, when 9 out of 10 promote Christ, what do you think will be the outcome? The oneness of Spirit is destroyed. All you need is one. Right? He keeps talking about himself. He keeps insisting that my views are right, my views are better. And when they are the rest, if my view is not as good as yours, I'm okay. Let's go by your suggestion. Yours is better. Yours will bring much greater effectiveness and blessing in ministry. It's okay. Let's go for your view. Because you want the best view that can promote Christ, that can help God's people grow spiritually the best way. It's not my idea. And therefore, when people are blessed, well, whose idea was it? It's not my life, it's his. You see, this kind of talk, this kind of thinking is very, very carnal and worldly. And so you just simply say, yeah, it's the brother. He suggested it. What a very wise young man he is. That because of his suggestion, we adopted it, we executed it. Now it brings so much blessing to everyone. You say it sincerely with all your heart. No jealousy, no envy, nothing. Just thankful, grateful. Tell the truth. It's okay. Isn't that wonderful? Because that is what every believer is supposed to experience, as what Jesus says, the abundant life. Not bitterness, not fighting, not contention, not arguing. You want to promote yourself, I want to promote yourself. Someone shared that when their church celebrated the 100th anniversary, isn't that supposed to be a very happy occasion? magazine was distributed. And then at the end of the service, and everyone was supposed to be very happy, this member shared, suddenly there was a commotion right at the front where the pulpit was. There was this group of people, and there was this young man on another side, and they were raising their voices. They were angry, they were upset over something. You know what that something was? After the service, when he examined the magazine, he realized that his great-grandfather, who was part of the early founding members, was excluded. Where all the others were included, he got upset and angry. Why is my great-grandfather excluded and all the others are included? Is it because you are in the leadership, I'm not in the leadership, and therefore you put in all your great-grandfather's names and so on, and mine is excluded? You think the great-grandfather is going to be happy with his great-grandson? Trying to what? Contend for his great-grandfather's name and reputation? If it is to glorify Christ, if my great-grandfather's name is not included, should it matter? Are you really concerned for your great-grandfather's name or your own? Because both of you have the same surname, right? So you want people to know that you are the great-grandson? Is that the real reason or not? Are you hiding behind your desire and your grandfather's memory and honor as a facade? Actually, you only care for yourself. Perhaps could that be the real reason? But if it is to promote Christ, should this matter or not? See, these little things that can become the instrument that the God of this world will use to destroy our oneness. That's why the Bible here says, stand fast. Do not be moved. That means do whatever it takes. Don't let people, don't let names, don't let rumors, don't let any sin or anyone or anything push you away from this position of oneness. That you are prepared to do anything and everything to protect the oneness that I have with each and every member of Truth BP Church, no matter what. If I have to eat humble pie, if I have to turn the other cheek, I will do whatever it takes to protect the oneness that I have with you, because I cannot and I do not and I dare not come to church when someone in the members of Truth BP Church is upset with me. How can I worship in peace? When I know that you are upset with me, when you do not want to reconcile. And I don't want that. And if I can do whatever it takes to bring about peace between two of us and bring about reconciliation, I will do it. Of course, not at the expense of compromising Christian ethics and morals and the truth of God. But for the sake of our oneness, I'm prepared to eat any humble pie, any size. You want me to say sorry first? I will. I will say sorry to you first. Is that okay? I'll do it. Just so that the oneness in Truth BP Church would not be put in jeopardy because of my pride. Oh, your pastor, how can you say? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because before God, I'm not a pastor. Before God, I'm just a sinner saved by grace like you. And if the oneness is ruined because what? I hold on to my pride and I'm a pastor. How can a pastor say sorry to the member first? Does it matter? It doesn't matter to me. As long as the oneness is not compromised. So that everyone in Truth BP Church, Sunday after Sunday, every time you meet, there is not a single soul in the congregation that I am unhappy with. No animosity, not even in the slightest. Truly at peace. You hold on to it. Stubbornly, don't let go. That's what it means. With the same desire, oneness of mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, this is the objective faith of the gospel. That means the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. You protect it. Don't compromise it. Don't let go of it. Because when you do so, you're going to encounter adversaries, enemies, especially in these last days. You go to a charismatic and you tell them that their gospel is false, that the true gospel is to believe in Jesus Christ only for the reason of sin and transgression and iniquities, not because of sin, and you want health and wealth as well. That is another gospel that will condemn you to hell. You think you're going to make many friends? You're going to have a lot of enemies, and they're going to try to stop you at all costs. And so when you want to stand fast in this oneness in Christ, based upon God's strength, where every area of your life glorifies Him. And so with this oneness of mind in defending the gospel, you're going to face common enemies. Will you remain strong and steadfast if some of these enemies are your relatives? Or you're going to be budged? You're going to be moved. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries who will be against you, which is in them a clear sign, proof, evident proof of their perdition, destruction, unbelievers. But to you, holding on to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ according to Scripture, facing persecution of the persecution no matter what, it is a proof and evidence of your salvation, because you are prepared to give up your physical life and your freedom and suffer pain and suffer for Christ by holding on to His blessed gospel. And to you, an evidence of your salvation, and that salvation is of God. Standing fast with courage. Standing fast in Christ, standing fast in God's strength in all areas of your life, with oneness of mind, same goal to exalt only Christ, nobody else, not your mom, not your dad, not your friend, not your father, not your brother, none, only Christ, and with His strength and courage. And if all of you, as God's children, do your part, the oneness in truth, BP Church, is yours to enjoy, and it is the blessing of the abundant life that God has promised every truly born-again believer. Jesus says, you will have life and you will have it more abundantly. You look at our troubled world. There will never be any oneness, because each and every nation, each and every individual out there in the world has its own personal agenda. And if their agenda and yours are one and the same, then both parties benefit. That's how long it will last. The moment a new agenda comes in where only one party benefits, and if it is not you and it is him, he's going to sacrifice you. True? You see this out there in the world, repeatedly over and over again. Today they can be the best of friends, two nations. Tomorrow they can become the worst of enemies. Not just nations, but individual too. Best of friends when they start a business, and then very soon, midway through, they are 5-year business. They are now the worst of enemies, and all because of what? Usually money matters. Cannot agree on the goal, cannot agree on how the money ought to be spent, cannot agree on how much to be savings and how much to be expenditure. Which direction to expand, which direction not to expand. Cannot agree. And then they contend and they fight. Nobody wants to sell each other their shares, and so they remain stuck together as business partners, because the business may be very, very rich and good. And so both are greedy. Oh, would I sell my shares? And if I sell my shares, then the profit will no longer be mine. And so they refuse. And so they stomach the tension that has now ruined their so-called, once upon a time, best friend relationship, which is now a long forgotten memory. But for us as believers, you are in Christ, I'm in Christ. You do what you can to hold on to this oneness in spirit by God's strength, so do I. I will want to take the first step and apologize. You also want to take the first step and apologize. What do you think will be the outcome? Straight away we will apologize, straight away restoration comes, right? And so our oneness is secured, is protected. That unhappy feeling, that harsh word, that sin did not destroy our oneness in Christ, because I have forgiven you and you have accepted. So wonderful. The world can never have it because they rejected Christ. But God's church, God's people on earth, Jesus says, this is yours. So that when a sinner comes in, he will find in Truth BB Church a world that is out of this world. And that is love, care, compassion, oneness of spirit, joy, gratitude, thankfulness, everyone helping one another, seeking only to promote one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as he is promoted, I am prepared to be forgotten. It's okay. They don't have to know I was here. They just can forget about me. I'm all right with that, as long as they keep on remembering my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give you the strength to do it. And even in the face of adversaries who try to destroy this, you hold on and don't ever let go, because these adversaries that can impact and push you away will be the people in your life on earth that you have the strongest, closest affection for. And they can very well be family members. And because of family members, the oneness is gone. We had a member in our congregation whom I've known for more than 20, 30 years. But because his daughter wanted to marry someone who refused to be baptized because his mother wouldn't give him permission to do so. And our constitution is very clear. You cannot marry a person in church if the groom is not a baptized believer. And so we counseled him, that is the groom. We even bent backwards for him, asking him, even though he could only manage to complete 5 out of the 20 BBK lessons, that if you attend the remaining 5 and give us your word that after your marriage, after you are baptized, before your marriage and after marriage, you will continue to attend the balance, we are prepared to baptize you out of our regular baptism services, one in July, the other one in December, a special occasion. He turned everything down because his mom said no. We mentioned this to the girl's father, who was serving in the fellowship as a committee member. Counsel him that you cannot participate in such a wedding. You are a leader. You should be exemplary. Now you have to very prayerfully make the right choice. You are now facing the same situation as Abraham when God asked Abraham to offer his only begotten son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Do you love your daughter more than Christ? This is your choice. Choose well. That's how we counsel him before the wedding. And so when the wedding took place, the news started to flow in that he attended the wedding, walked her down the aisle, signed as a witness. Of course, we cannot act based upon someone's testimony. So we called him up and meet up with him again. We explained to you, we talk to you as the board of elders. We counsel you to make the right decision. Why did you make such a decision? His reply was, she is my daughter. That's it. And for that, we had to discipline him. We asked him to step down. You will be suspended from the Lord's Supper. You need counseling. And we have to announce this to the fellowship group that he was a leader of. and explain, of course, to the committee first, and then the fellowship, he left the church. The one that's gone. So bear in mind, stand fast in one spirit. Who do you think the evil one will use to take away your steadfastness in standing and holding, standing stationary in one spirit? Not some strangers that you don't have any affection for. Anyone and everyone or anything on this earth in your life that you have an affection for. The devil can use that to force you to make that decision. Choose Christ and hold on to that oneness that is based upon truth, holiness and righteousness, or stand fast in one spirit is our blessing from God in Christ. Would you hold on to it at all costs and do whatever it takes and give up your personal rights and preferences without compromising doctrine and truth, morality and Christian ethics, but your own likes and dislikes, be a servant to all men in order to save some and hold on to that steadfastness of the unity of heart, mind and spirit that God says all my children can experience and enjoy, especially those who are in the same church like the ones in the church in Philippi. And today, Truth BP Church, do you want it? All it needs is one person to say, I don't want it, even though the other nine says we want it. You think the 10 people will have it? Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to realize, O Lord, how rich the salvation that we have in our Savior truly is, especially in light of the relationship that we can have with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the oneness that is accomplished for us in the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as children of the Most High God. We commit, O Lord, the members of Truth BP Church unto your loving care, beginning from the session to the ordinary members in the pew. Help each and every one of us to do our part, O Lord, with a strong desire to be with thee, for truly to live is Christ and to die is gain. And yet, O Lord, you have deemed it more needful for us to remain behind, just as Paul needed to remain behind to ensure that the church in Philippi remain one in Christ Jesus, for this oneness was compromised because of certain individuals who served thee and witnessed the gospel of Jesus Christ with different agendas. May this not be found in Truth BP Church. May each and every member do their utmost to protect and remain steadfast and stand firm, unmoved, because of the oneness of spirit that you have blessed them with. May this be their continuous blessing, so that all who come and visit this church may also experience and receive this blessing. For in Christ Jesus, this is our blessing and reality. And with the strength of the Lord and the courage, even in the face of adversaries, may this oneness that we desire in defending the gospel, in loving one another, be the clear evidence of our salvation, for we know that this spiritual blessing originates from thee and thee alone. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.